I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB, weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock. This is where you can come. It's an independent space for independent thinkers out there from 9 to 11 every weekday. So I appreciate you joining me here today on, it's Wednesday, so next hour from 10 to 11 o'clock, we will get into hump day health, natural health news you can use. I have got, I'm going to have to do some reading next hour. It's not always the preferred way to do radio. But I've got a pretty chilling account of COVID treatment from the medical mafia in New York, particularly from Elmhurst Hospital. And I think it's important to relay to people so that you really kind of understand what we're dealing with here, not just in COVID, but in a medical system that, how do I say this? I'm not going to come off as real kind to the medical system today. Again, this is not about the intentions or quality of doctors and nurses. It's the system. It's the system that is just so screwed up. I wish that we had a slightly more humble medical system where they acknowledged some... this is really difficult. It's difficult to talk about because, this is one of those things where people can see it in black and white. A lot of good people out there, a lot of great doctors, a lot of great nurses trying to do great things for people. But the system puts them in a spot where to challenge it, you're anti-science. But the science is not settled on so many different things, including treatment for not only COVID, but a whole host of diseases. And this is a firsthand account that I'll be getting into next hour from this nurse up in New York City and what she saw. It's chilling. It's terrifying. And I think it deserves to be shared. I've also got some clips from an interview that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. did with Dr. Ron Paul. And it's just got some pretty interesting vaccine facts in it. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has gotten very big into the vaccine world, questioning the safety of it. And it is not him questioning it. What I like about the interview that I'm going to play of him next hour is that he says, kind of like I say here, don't listen to me. Do your own research. He provides people links to scientific papers, and I'm going to be very interested to see. Be very, very interested to see. There's a lot of people out there that have been really hardcore after anybody who has questioned vaccines in the past, right? A lot of moms out there who would really, I recall the friend of mine whose daughter wrote a piece about the HPV vaccine in the University of Southern Mississippi newspaper, where she really kind of looked at both sides of it, why it was used and some of the potential risks of it and the downsides. And she was beset upon by a pack of wolves, of pro-vaccine wolves, that just said horrible things about this freshman. She was a freshman. An 18, 19-year-old girl at USM. They piled on her that she dared to question the HPV vaccine in this article and called her dangerous and all that. I'm going to be very interested to see if any minds are changed with this Operation Warp Speed and the push to get this vaccine, because the polls are interesting. Right now, about 30% of people are saying that they will line up, roll up that sleeve, grab their children and stick them in a chair to get this rushed coronavirus vaccine. That is surprisingly small to me, and I'm happy to hear it, because at least means people are thinking about it a little bit more. For too long, we have rolled up our sleeves, and more importantly, the sleeves of our children, to allow people to inject something directly into their bloodstream that 99% of parents have no idea what it is. You just trust. Blind faith. And again, they may come out with the perfect COVID vaccine and it gets us all back. And maybe they're about to hit on some new vaccine science that makes every disease obsolete. If that happens and it's safe, I'll cheer like anybody else. But until then, we need to acknowledge the problems we have. And if you listen to RFK Jr. next hour, it should give you at least some more information to make an informed decision before you roll up your six-year-old's sleeve to have them inject something that you have no idea what it is. I'm also going to tell you next hour what I've told my kids to have on hand for COVID-19. They have returned to the petri dish of college. Haven't you seen the headlines? These kids are talking to each other. They need to shut the schools down. They had a party. So I'll give you my quick little packet that my children should have on hand as they're in that. Because they may get COVID. And guess what? I don't worry about that at all. I've tried to raise healthy kids. They know what they can eat. They know how to stay healthy. And so I'm not concerned at all. Before I get into the rest of today's show, I've got another headline. Yesterday I talked about Walmart. Oh, Walmart smashed expectations of profitability in the second quarter. Really quite a something to behold, you know, because they were one of the chosen companies from the federal, state, and local governments. A restaurant dare not open their front door to some biological hazard in terms of another human being forced to shut down, carry out only, touchless this, touchless that. But Walmart moved about their business as if nothing was wrong. Lowe's, Home Depot, you know the players. The government-chosen corporations that were able to be, apparently, people checked their COVID at the door at Walmart and were able to move about. They couldn't do that at a nail salon or couldn't get your hair cut. But you could go to a Walmart if you wanted to. For some reason, Walmart, it must be that downdraft thing. You know, when you walk into Walmart, they've got that puff of air that goes down. It's to control flies and stuff from coming into these restaurants. But I guess maybe that keeps COVID out. You know, that push down. Maybe that's what it was. Walmart's air system. Well, Target, another government-chosen business, soars today. They announced their profit. Target Corp soared in pre-market trade to a record high of $150 after posting its best quarterly comparable sales growth on record and online revenues that nearly tripled. The supermarket operator reported second quarter sales that smashed analyst expectations, and they brushed off concerns that demand would ebb after consumers spent their relief checks. Now, Target understands, we're socialists now. The government will send out more relief checks, and we'll get some more of them. And Target also looks at it and says, it looks like in the fall they're going to shut a bunch of businesses down too. The first case of flu that comes out there. Target knows they're in a pretty good place for the rest of this year for sure in crushing their small local competitors. So there you go, Walmart and Target. So congratulations. You want to tell you, it's so funny to me. Wall Street is in this V-shaped recovery. We've still got, I think we've cracked below 30 million now, somewhere around 29, 28 million people still collecting unemployment benefits. For them, no V-shaped recovery. But for the stock market and for Wall Street and for Walmart and Amazon and Target, it wasn't even a V-shaped recovery because they never went down. You see how that works? Tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of small local businesses. The second quarter wasn't so great for them. Many of them forced to shutter their doors forever. But Target and Walmart did just fantastic, fantastic. Jeff Bezos at Amazon has done equally as well. There was a headline today. I didn't even clip anything from the story. Here was the headline from AP today. How can Wall Street be so healthy when Main Street isn't? Huh. I don't know. I wonder how that's possible. Could it be that a bunch of petty tyrants all the way from Anthony Fauci down to city councils around the country shut down Main Street but allowed Wall Street to remain open? All of the biggest corporations and those that they didn't allow to stay open. Well, I don't think they ever actually closed hotels. They never closed airlines. But those industries, with the big corporations that lost sales due to coronavirus, they're getting bailed out. Ah, your mom and pop retailer, I talked last week about, I think it was Ulmer's Stride Right, been in business for decades, I believe, and I closed the doors permanently. No bailout for them. Entertainment venues, locally owned, local-based entertainment venues, they're going down the tubes. Federal Reserve has printed up endless supply of free money, 0% interest rate money for all the Wall Street firms. I guess Ulmer Stride Right couldn't get 0% interest rate loans. Of course they couldn't. They're a small mom and pop. AP touched on maybe a couple of these things, but really just didn't get out and get down into it. I mean, this is the game. When we emerge from this thing, the way it's shaping up right now, and I can't imagine really anything that's going to turn it around because there's not a politician out there talking about it, you're going to see just an absolute decimation of Main Street. All of the hyper, you know, it's been decades in the making of Walmart moving into towns and putting out all the local retailers, right? You know, the big sporting goods stores putting out of business all of the small, locally owned sporting goods stores. And this has just accelerated. It's they've like gone in a time warp. What they might have taken them 30 years to do, to put the rest of mom and pop shops and Main Street out of business, they were able to accomplish in 6 months. And Wall Street, the S&P, the NASDAQ reaching all-time highs. And unfortunately, many people on the right don't see this because you're scared to death to admit that the economy is not great right now because you're facing a re-election and you have to do the partisan talking points that the country is experiencing a V-shaped recovery and that the next quarter is going to be super-duper fantastic and next year is going to be beyond belief as long as we don't elect Joe Biden. Joe Biden certainly would do nothing for the economy but to pretend to take in the talking points from the White House. And I understand they're in a re-election. They can say what they want to. I'm not mad at Donald Trump for cheering on the economy, but I would be furious with myself if I were to actually believe what he's saying. But Main Street is crushed as Wall Street goes on. Anyway, just wanted to let everybody know, Target thanks you. Target thanks you for all your taxpayer dollars that will flow to them through the stimulus checks, smashing, tripling their online sales, and all they had to do was spend the money of our grandchildren and great-grandchildren and children yet unborn and stimulus checks going straight into Target's bottom line. Amazing thing to watch. I'll be right back.
You know that friend that's eating healthy, or as they put it, eating clean? They're overly concerned with eating habits, especially yours. They cite the latest health studies, the ones that change weekly. Eggs are good? No, bad. No, wait, eggs are good. Instead, maybe you should listen to what your own body is saying about your health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Now I'm calling all citizens from all over the world. This is Captain America calling. I built you up when you were down on your knees. So will you catch me now? I'm falling.
Day two of the Democratic National Convention yesterday. You will hear bupkis from me about it because I don't care. AOC got her 90 seconds. She endorsed Bernie Sanders. I think it's a genius move for her politically, not because I think she's smart or she's got good ideas, but she's trying to set herself up as queen of the leftists, and that's for her. That's what she wants to do. It's all incredibly boring to me. I don't do a whole lot on the political theater. Nielsen called during the break. He did have a kind of funny point, though. was talking about John Kasich's speech at the crossroads. And Nielsen said, isn't that where people make a deal with the devil at the crossroads, like Robert Johnson did here in Mississippi? Yeah, John Kasich. And, you know, this is one of these things that's kind of humorous to me. You know, I didn't vote for Mitt Romney. How many people out there, raise your hand if you voted for Mitt Romney because Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity told you how great Mitt Romney was in 2012? Yeah. I don't know. There's some level of personal satisfaction that I didn't buy into Kasich and I didn't buy into Romney and I didn't vote for John McCain. I saw that Cindy McCain went. Did she do? I mean, I just saw a headline. I don't care about the convention. I don't care. Wake me up when Joe comes on camera and says, turns out I've got raging Alzheimer's and we're going to have to hand this off to Hillary or something like that. That would pique my interest. Other than that, I'm not really interested. But it is kind of nice to know I was not duped. I was not duped into voting for John McCain. Now Cindy McCain has apparently gone out and endorsed Joe Biden in this thing. How many of you people, and I don't mean to say, it's coming across kind of aggressive, isn't it? How many people, see, when I threw the U in there, that's very aggressive, and I apologize. How many people out there were sold John McCain for years and years and years? And us little independent libertarian-minded people off to the side going, the guy's a warmonger, he's no good. And no, he's a patriot. He's a POW. Don't even get me started on his POW record, but, oh, yeah, John McCain, an American hero. And people like me were on the sidelines going, what are you doing? The guy's a psychopath. Well, turns out he was a psychopath after all. Anyway, a lot of warnings coming from us independent-minded, non-partisan, non-Kool-Aid-drinking people. You should start heeding some of these warnings. Oh, boy. Boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. I'm not going to do much on that. I was talking before the break about Main Street getting crushed while Wall Street goes to the moon. You know, this is a little part of my problem with the narrative right now that Trump is taking on the globalists. Now, I believe his intentions in that area are good. I think his execution is terrible. The globalists have never been as powerful as they are right now. The Federal Reserve never been as powerful. The elites in the billionaire class have never had so much money. I think they said yesterday the top, 16 billionaires in the country now have over $1 trillion worth of wealth. If Trump's taking on the globalists, he's losing. As of right now, maybe if he gets 4 more years, I don't know. All I can do is report on what I'm seeing, and it seems to me they're doing just fine right now. But I ran across this. I'm going to play some more of, this is Kennedy Jr., Robert F. Kennedy Jr. I'm going to talk, we're going to play some sound bites from him next hour on vaccine science that I think are so valuable for people to hear, and you just won't hear it unless you search for it or you're tuning into my radio show. But he also cites a study here about unemployment. This is looking at COVID and the shutdowns and lockdowns and the decimation to Main Street. He cites a study here I'd never heard of before, and I need to actually get this study, about the connections between extra deaths. Isn't that what this is all about? Anthony Fauci and Thomas Dobbs here in Mississippi, they just want to save lives. There's been studies done about the extra deaths compared to unemployment rates. And so I want you to listen to this. It is some pretty striking stuff when you consider what we're going to be looking at. I don't know how many COVID people we've saved. I've got stuff on masks today, too, comparing when mask mandates went out versus when spikes started happening. Spoiler alert. After the mask mandate goes out, more people, the case counts spike. How could that be possible, Thomas Dobbs? How could that be possible, Anthony Fauci? Anyway, let me go ahead and play this before I tee off on the mask situation. This is Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Again, kind of preface all this. I feel so bad for the guy because he's got a voice issue. He's got a condition that makes his voice kind of wavy. It takes a second to kind of hone in on and really start to understand him. And it's a shame because he's got such powerful things to say. I wish his voice was equally as powerful. But this is unemployment and excess deaths in the United States. And just think about what that within the context of what we are experiencing right now.
We're listening to Anthony Fauci, who's telling us what the what COVID may do on various scenarios of lockdown. He may or may not be able to predict that accurately. But what we need a broader discussion, because we need to know not only what the benefits of lockdown on COVID mortalities is, but we need to know what the cost of lockdown is on non-COVID mortalities. And I think the data is really clear, that quarantine is going to kill far more people than COVID. And there was a study back in the 1980s. Back in the 1980s, a lot of people were studying the question of the impacts of, you know, we had big a downscaling of these huge corporations back in the, you know, early 80s. There was a whole discipline of science, an industry of science that emerged, of economics, a field of economics that looked at the impacts of unemployment on human life and other factors. And what one of the most famous of those studies that has been cited everywhere said that for every 1 point in unemployment, there are 37,000 excess deaths.
Wow.
The deaths, and it enumerated where they're coming from. I think 9,000 of them were from heart attacks, 900 were from suicide. In addition, and by the way, this was at a time when our population was 43% smaller. So you need to really almost double that.
Wow.
You know, to look at the impacts of unemployment today. In addition to that, there were 4,000 extra imprisonments and 3,300 extra admissions to mental institutions. And, you know, if we have 30 points of unemployment, which they're predicting now, we're talking about a couple of million deaths, which is much more from the unemployment. In addition to that, we have disruptions to medical supply chains and food supply. That there are millions of people starving around the world because of the quarantine. We've lost already about 50,000 minority businesses permanently in this country. What is that going to do? There was a report from one hospital in San Francisco that said that the suicide rates, the amount of suicides they were getting in that hospital, they got in 1 month, they got a year worth of suicides, so a 1,200% increase.
Wow.
I know from my own experience that, you know, this is really alcohol. I read this. I don't know this from my experience. I know that a lot of people are suffering from addiction issues right now, that they're, you know, they can't go to AA meetings. They can't go to 12-step meetings. They're locked in. Isolation does not mix with addiction, you know, and alcohol, I read this, and I can't cite it, but anybody can look this up and check me on it, but that alcohol sales are up 600%.
Wow.
I actually did do some research on that, because that was a shocking figure to me, 6 times the amount of alcohol sales. I could not verify that. I saw there were some online companies that did, you know, wine of the month clubs, things like that, that were up 500% during quarantine, which makes some common sense. Best I could find that alcohol sales were probably up anywhere from 60 to 140% overall. That's still almost a doubling of the amount of alcohol being consumed. And I think it also does make the point, all these people who are trying to fight addictions couldn't go to 12-step programs, couldn't go get their therapy. They couldn't do any of these things. So when you start thinking about this, I'm going to let him finish. You start thinking about the hundreds of thousands of people who have been thrown into chaos, really millions of people, thrown into chaos, depression, suicides, substance abuse, both alcohol and drugs. It is stunning to see. And I tie a lot of the lockdown stuff, too, to the unrest in the streets. You know, you can say this is about George Floyd. You can say this is just radical leftists. The problem, the difference is when you have a lot more people unemployed, you got a lot more opportunity for people to take to the streets if they're collecting a check at home rather than having to show up for a job at 8 o'clock in the morning. There's so many unintended consequences of this. It is just, well, I say it's unintended. Some people think this may be all by design. But it's these medical authorities who don't look at this study that he's citing. They don't care. They are like a car manufacturer. I've said this before. It's like somebody who's, the only thing they care about is car safety. Just imagine somebody who, you're an expert in car safety, saving the lives of people in an automobile accident. If that was your only concern, cost didn't matter, production capabilities didn't matter, availability of materials didn't matter, you just were tasked to design the ultimate car to protect somebody. When you go to a car company and you start telling them, at some point the people at the car company go, okay, well, you understand the car that you're describing is going to cost $250,000. I talk about this with NASCAR. You see some of the most horrific accidents in NASCAR. The guys are going 200 miles an hour and get flipped into the air and then T-boned when they come down and they walk out. It's absolutely amazing. But to do that for an everyday street car, cars would have to cost $250,000. So in that scenario, when an engineer comes out with everything that could possibly be done to keep an occupant safe, they have to go to somebody and someone says, okay, well, we got that. You understand, we can't do all of those things because it's too expensive and there's too much cost and nobody will buy the car and it will end up that nobody will actually own one of these things. I mean, there's all kinds of different considerations. But when it comes to the health authorities like Anthony Fauci and Thomas Dobbs here in Mississippi, they only have one job. They don't consider any of the other things, the suicides, the unemployment, the business destruction, the isolation of people, even in nursing homes, the fact that people are dying alone in hospitals because nobody can even go visit them because of the hysteria. See, they only have one thing. They don't have to take in any other considerations. They only care about, we want the case count to go down and we want to save COVID lives. We want to save 1,000 COVID lives in Mississippi. We don't care if it costs 10,000 lives down the road. Because that's not Thomas Dobbs' job here in Mississippi. Not his job to provide mental health counseling to people who have lost their jobs and been thrown into poverty. It's not his job to police domestic violence for the people that have been quarantined next to each other with no money in the house. That's not his job. His job is not to try to help the people who have lost a business. That's not his job. It's not his job to help with the unemployment situation in Mississippi for closing down so many businesses. That's not his job. His job is just to keep COVID deaths down. No other considerations are put into it. Infuriating to me. I'm going to come back. I'm going to finish up this RFK clip. But when you start looking at this, again, he said for every 1% uptick in unemployment, that's 37,000 deaths. And that number is undercounted by 43% because at the time the study was done, we had 43% less population. I'm going to do the math during the break. It's one of those things I love to do. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at DanksMillerCorey.com.
We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Looking at this math, we're playing this clip. There's a study done back in the 1980s about the extra deaths compared to the unemployment rate. As it ticks up, there are extra deaths. Now, this comes from everything from, you know, stress is one of those things that causes disease and causes people to die. Heart attacks, all kinds of problems. Domestic violence, people who lose their jobs. It affects their health. What they said in this study was that 37,000 more people die for every 1% increase in the unemployment rate. Now, I want you to think about that within the context of COVID deaths. Right now, we have 175,000, somewhere around there, supposed COVID deaths. Now, we know that number is not accurate, but that's the official number, so we'll use it for these purposes. The unemployment rate right now is reported at 10.9%, but that's a load of malarkey. No, I'm not a Biden fan. I think that's a funny word. If the unemployment rate is actually the 19%, and this is how you get the real unemployment rate, you look at the number of people who are collecting unemployment, and you divide them into the number of people of working age. It's a pretty simple calculation. The 10.9% that's being reported, that's the Bureau of Labor Statistics, who does things like the birth-death model, seasonal adjusted things. They take surveys of a few companies, and then they extrapolate it out. Just like Donald Trump said back in 2016, those statistics are lies designed to make politicians look good. Unfortunately, now Trump uses those same bogus statistics. If the unemployment rate is 19%, and maybe it's come down a tad since then, but I did my math during the break, it went from 3.5% to 19%. That's a 15.5% increase in unemployment. If you multiply that times 37,000 deaths, the increased deaths from the Fauci-caused, Thomas Dobbs, Tate Reeves-caused recession, the extra deaths across the United States would be 573,500 people. That's 1980s numbers. If you add in the fact that we have 43% larger population right now, the excess deaths just due to the unemployment, the catastrophe that has unfolded before us in this overreaction to a disease that is 99.95% survivable, the number of deaths in the United States expected, according to these studies, will be 820,105 extra deaths. But Anthony Fauci doesn't pay attention to that study. No. Thomas Dobbs doesn't pay attention to that study. And apparently nobody around these governors or mayors or anybody ever tells them about these the other consequences of shutting your society down. I'm going to let RFK Jr. finish out what he's seen. And again, what you have to remember is this is RFK is a Democrat. He's on a show with Ron Paul, who's a libertarian Republican congressman, or was. He's retired. See, they're just talking about facts. It's not hyper-politicized. And RFK Jr. is going to call out his own party in this as well, because he's honest about it. See, most people, you don't ever say anything bad about your own party or your politician. Never, ever. You twist the facts to make your political beliefs more palatable. Anyway, here is RFK Jr. I think he's about to talk about nursing home deaths.
Wow. Oh, in England, isolation kills people too. In England, and this is true, there's a similar study in Italy. England looked at, during 5 weeks in April and May, they looked at deaths in what they call elder care facilities. We call them nursing homes. They said there are 30,000 excess deaths, but only 10,000 of them were from COVID. 20,000 of them were from people, you know, who didn't get their dialysis, who didn't get their heart medicine, who were isolated, who couldn't get to a doctor when they had a complaint.
Yeah.
And they ended up dying. And people deferred cancer checks, all of these things have come back to haunt us. Let me just say one other thing, because it's my party that is pushing more than I think the Republican is not exactly partisan, but it's much more the Democrats that are pushing the quarantine. And I really think it's going to come back and hurt all the values that my party has represented for forever. We are dismantling the New Deal now.
And he goes into, you know, the cost of social programs and stuff. Look, I would sit down and disagree respectfully with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. on a whole lot of things like the New Deal and these other things. But he understands. He doesn't care that it's his party that is really championing this idea of lockdowns. But I got to tell you, I may be the only person that I know who does not give Republicans a pass on this. It has happened under a Republican president, a Republican Senate, and we're sitting here in the middle of Mississippi and a Republican governor. The Republican governors across the country, with the exception of like that Kristi Noem woman up in South Dakota, who I'm borderline in love with. She's, whoo, she's so cute too. But she's also said, look, life comes with risks. We're not going to shut down our... She made the calculation that nobody else would do. That there are costs to the lockdowns. It might save a couple of COVID lives, but cost 10 times as many normal lives to do these things. She used a reasoned approach. She's just about the only one I've heard in this country, Republican or Democrat, who has looked at both sides of the ledger in risk versus reward and made that decision. When I come back, I'm going to talk about these masks. I mean, the studies on these masks. You know, I'm not a mask shamer. If you want to wear a mask, go with God. Do whatever you want to do. But if you think you're somehow protecting the world and saving Granny, the statistics are not lining up with your beliefs. I'll be right back. Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com. I luckily do interact with listeners by email. You can reach me, MikeMadison@WYAB.com. And luckily, it always kind of helps me because I know I've got some fellow travelers out there. I know a lot of people are frustrated with these COVID lockdowns, particularly conservatives, and you rightfully so. But I got to tell you, everybody, both parties, all ideologies in this country are driven by fear. The worst policies that come out of our politicians are always based on fear. I could start doing a laundry list, but I won't. But it's like watching a weird movie. I mean, it's almost to the point where, you know, you watch a horror movie and so there's a bad guy there, so they, you know, run into the basement or something. And you just say, wow, don't go in the basement, you know. And that's what I'm looking at. It's like I'm looking at a bunch of hysterical people doing just some of the most insane stuff. And I'm just, you know, is anybody else noticing how? Anyway, masks is one of these things. And look, intuitively, I have sympathy for people who think that everybody should be wearing a mask. I have sympathy for them. It's not that they're evil. It's that it seems to make sense. Put something over your mouth. Not as much stuff comes out of your mouth. It's a quick, easy thing. It's a virtue signal. And the statistics are showing that more and more and more and more and more. And Sweden has shown that. Boy, Sweden is just such a great example of how these things happen. Look, they lost some people. They were told they were going to lose 96,000 people if they didn't lock down. They lost, anyone? 5,000. Yeah, the experts were only off by 94%. Matter of fact, they didn't even have 95,000 cases of COVID in their country. I think they have 10 million people in Sweden. They didn't even have 95,000 cases. The experts told them they were going to have 95,000 deaths. They had 5. And then the slope just went straight on down. It's just about nothing now, if they're having any COVID deaths at all. So masks, this is just interesting. I mean, the thing is that I know I'm kind of preaching to the choir here, to the majority of people, and the people who disagree with me won't hear this. Either because they won't tune in to a station that rebels against the lockdowns because they think we're evil, or they will just refuse. Facts off of people are like bullets off of Superman. Doesn't matter if it's the war on drugs, the war on terror. It doesn't matter what the thing is. If you buy into the war on COVID, the war on drugs, the war on terror, you don't want to hear any facts that don't support what you've already believed, because the last thing anybody wants to do is go, man, maybe I got that wrong. I don't know what it is about me, always ready to admit when I was wrong. I could do a whole week of shows on things that I've gotten wrong in the past, and I've learned more, and I've changed my mind. That makes me an incredibly rare bird. As states clamp down on mask wearing, even outside in some places, new reports show that COVID-19 infections actually went up over 160% a month after California mandated masks. California Governor Gavin Newsom issued his order on June 18, 2020, to apply in all outdoor spaces or enclosed areas in a person's own household where people were not household members might gather. His order also applied to any outdoor setting where 6-foot social distancing was not possible. Quote, the website of Johns Hopkins University, which offers pandemic tracking tools for every U.S. state, says average daily cases in California have increased from 3,385 on the day of Newsom's order to 8,889 as of July 16th, an increase of 162%. And can't we say the same thing for Mississippi? When they first started doing mask mandates, and I guess Hines is still leading in the number of coronavirus cases, Hines became a hotspot probably 6 weeks, 8 weeks after they mandated masks everywhere. How is that possible? I'm running out of time here. I've got stories about teachers are calling the police, children who don't show up for their Zoom classes. Massachusetts school officials have reported dozens of families to state social workers for possible neglect charges because of issues related to their children's participation in remote learning classes during the pandemic shutdown in the spring, the Boston Globe reported. Globe spoke with several parents who have received calls and visits from the State Department of Children and Families. The department has the power to remove children from their homes and place them in foster care if agents suspect that kids are being mistreated, abused, or neglected, and DCF considers distance learning, no-shows, to be possible abuse cases. DCF lists numerous circumstances in which teachers should feel obliged to call the cops, among them kids appearing tired or hungry during Zoom sessions. Because everything's a law enforcement issue now. In our new snitch society. I talked yesterday about colleges encouraging students to turn in their fellow students if they see them doing anything that they seems to be risky. I mean, this is a bad movie. But even this mask stuff and teachers calling the cops on students because your child looks tired on a Zoom call, you've locked them in their homes for 6 months. Do you know the chaos you have thrown these kids' schedules into, including their sleep schedules? And now you're going to call the cops if a child looks tired on a Zoom call or if they look hungry? Not to mention the fact that parents have to go to work. They didn't plan. They can't afford to provide constant daycare to children that you have forced into the home now for 6 months. Parents are leaving their children with older siblings at home. And you're going to turn them into the cops because the child looks hungry. Man, I got to tell you, I have never seen the United States do something so rapidly against its own best interest. Even if you think COVID is a real danger and you want to hide out from it, you're not going to recognize this country in a little bit.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. And it is Wednesday. So if Wednesdays from 10 to 11 o'clock, we get into one topic, and that is health. Health, and particularly from a natural perspective, trying to empower people to understand how much nutrition matters and tell you that the power to your health outcomes is largely in your own hands. I start every show by explaining to you, though, I am not a doctor, not a scientist, not a biologist, not a chemist, not an infectious disease expert, not an immunologist, not a surgeon, not a therapist, not a nurse, not a nothing. I'm just somebody who's got some intellectual curiosity and was able to improve my health dramatically 15 years ago, and so I think it's worth bringing that information out to other people to let you know you can do the same thing. I have none of these trainings, but there's so much information out there. If you're willing to actually spend a little bit of time investing into knowledge for yourself and for your family and for the love of God for our children, you're going to hear some statistics later on about chronic diseases in children that are just bring a tear to your eye. Anyway, it's supposed to be an empowering show. Today it's going to be more of an educational show. I'm going to spend time on vaccines today, and let me tell you why. Well, first, I'm going to read a little bit about a nurse's account of COVID treatment in New York, because it's important. I'm going to spend time on vaccines today because going forward, you're going to be faced with a decision of whether or not to inject some unknown substance into the bloodstream of your children, into yourself. And I feel like maybe you should have more information, not less. It's so funny to me that we take our children when they're first born and we get the best car seat and we make sure it's installed right and we put up all the baby gates and we do everything we can to keep our children safe. And then when they ride a bike, we put a helmet on them and we put knee pads on them. We put elbow pads on them. We put training wheels on them. We watch them like a hawk. We don't let them out of our sight when we go to the grocery store. I mean, we do so many things to keep our kids safe. And then we walk into a medical office and they pull out a syringe. We don't ask any questions. They just jam it straight into the kid's bloodstream and we just smile along the way. This is what we do. Now, you can argue on either side of this, but is it not better to have an informed parent or to be an informed consumer of something that is plunged into your bloodstream? Look, I look at food labels. Is that crazy? Is that crazy of me to look at food labels and see? You know, if I pull up any kind of a product or my kids want to buy something and I look at it and it's an extremely long paragraph of words I can't pronounce, we don't eat that. I want to know what's in the food I'm eating. It seems to have paid off for me the last 15 years. I haven't had a single sick day. Not one. But this vaccine issue is not going away. It is going to be ratcheted up, and I think it's important we talk about it. The state of Virginia has mandated that students must have all required vaccine to register for school, even if they are learning online. Maryland, Texas, and District of Columbia have also mandated vaccines for online learning. Virginia is offering free vaccines and special clinics so children can catch up with government mandates. The online learning vaccine mandates are the latest in the assault against informed consent by pharma, mainstream medicine, and the public health lobby. Got to have a vaccine to learn online. I personally am less worried about a formally forced vaccine. I don't put it past them. But I think we may have a soft mandate. And the thing is that the more people are educated, the better off we are to possibly push back against this. And the soft mandate that I see coming is your kids can't go to school without the vaccine. You can't get health insurance, life insurance without the vaccine. Oh, we're not making you take it. It's totally up to you, but you won't be eligible for that job if you can't prove that you've been vaccinated. We don't want you in here infecting our staff. Can't go shopping in our store if you don't have the vaccine. Have to have proof of that vaccine. There's never going to be a push bigger than the one we're about to see right now towards a vaccine for something that is not life-ending for 99.995% of the people. And if you're under 70 years old, it's microscopic, the risk of this thing. They're going to force a vaccine on us, even if it's a soft way to do it. A lot of people have handed over complete trust and faith to the medical system and the pharmaceutical companies. I think that faith and trust without any knowledge is misplaced. And the story I'm about to relate to you about this nurse's experience in the COVID trenches of New York should show you why. Now, again, I say this a lot. This is not against doctors and nurses, some of the best people I know out there really helping people. Nurses, I mean, I don't want to minimize doctors. There's some great doctors out there, but these nurses, there are truly some passionate nurses, and you're about to hear from one as I read her words. But if things were going great, if diseases were going down, if people's quality of life was going up, if diabetes was going down, if autism was going down, if cancers were going down, if now some of these things, survival is better, much better cancer treatments, much better therapies, and goodness knows if you're in a car accident, 2020 is the time to be needing care for that kind of stuff, because the things they can do with surgeries now are just absolutely mind-boggling, astounding. Kudos to the medical establishment for how they're able to put a broken body back together now. A premature baby, are you kidding me? Just probably in the last 10 years, I don't know what they've done, but children are born around a pound in weight, and they're able to nurse them to health. Some truly amazing things in modern science. But treating disease does not seem to be one of them, as most of the diseases are increasing and people's chronic health conditions are increasing. Quality of health is going down. So I'm going to, I'm going to take a break right now. I'm going to come back. I'm going to talk about this thing. It's from a book. I wish I had an audio to do this. I'm going to have to read it, but I think it's important enough to do it. It's an interview with retired Army combat veteran Aaron Marie Olszewski. A nurse for several months who treated COVID-19 patients in the Elmhurst Hospital Center, a public hospital in Queens, New York, the epicenter of the pandemic in the U.S. She's going to recount what she saw when they did this stuff, and then we're going to get into some stuff with RFK Jr. and some statistics, not from him. He's not anti-science. You know what he's going to do? He's going to quote the science that his research has taken him to. So vaccines and the way the medical establishment has gone after COVID are both very, very important stories right now. So we're going to get to those when we come back. Stay with me.
All night with the king.
Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own.
All right, I don't like to read a lot of stuff on air, but this, I guess I'm going to treat this like I'm telling you some kind of a story. It's a bit of a horror story about this nurse's experience up in New York. The reason I play this, look, I'm not saying that this is happening at any local hospitals here in Mississippi. This New York definitely had huge problems when it came to COVID. The larger point I'd like to say, to make out of this recounting of what she experienced in COVID treatment is that there is a bit of an arrogance in the medical establishment that leave it all to us. We know what we're doing. We use science. Don't do your own research. We're in control. We're the educated ones. And that is not always the case. And I've had doctors come on this air. MDs for 20, 30, 40 years have come on this air in interviews and said, look, so much we weren't trained about in medical school, so many things we've gotten wrong. These are your humble doctors. There's a bunch of them out there. A lot of them out there, actually. A lot of times they're scared to speak up, kind of like this nurse who has essentially been a whistleblower on this, and they're trying to strip her of her license because she's speaking out against what she saw in New York during COVID. But what I want to do is just, I want to lay some responsibility on individuals to understand what you're dealing with and stop this misplaced faith in pharmaceutical companies and this medical system that just tells you. It doesn't mean question everything your doctor says. I'm not saying that at all. It's just understanding that they don't have all the answers, even though they kind of tell us they do. That's what kind of drives me nuts. If they could explain to me the rise in diseases, if they could explain to me the rise in autism, instead they just say, oh, no, that's definitely not the cause. We know that's not the cause. Well, what is the cause? Well, we don't know. Oh, so you know it's not this, but you can't explain it. To me, that's disingenuous. All right, let me get into this. This, again, is, and if you want to get this from me, you can get my show notes. You email me, MikeMadison@WYAB.com. I'll send you this. It'll have the this nurse's recounting of this, or you can buy her book. She's written a book. This is retired Army combat veteran Erin Marie Olszewski, a nurse who for several months treated COVID-19 patients at Elmhurst Hospital's Center, a public hospital in Queens, New York, the epicenter of the pandemic in the U.S. She has written a book. It's called Undercover Epicenter Nurse, How Fraud, Negligence, and Greed Led to Unnecessary Deaths at Elmhurst Hospital, which details her experiences there. So you can get that book or you can email me. I'll send you the parts of this that I clipped out along with the interview with RFK Jr. that I'm going to get into in just a little bit. So let's get into what Erin saw when she was a nurse. She said, she begins, I did not go into this profession, talking about nursing, to help people. Excuse me. I did go into this profession to help people, but it did not take me long to realize that we were literally just pumping our patients full of medications. Most of my job was morning meds, afternoon meds, night meds, and tests. I've always had a passion for more of a natural approach to health, and it was devastating to me to realize that I wasn't really helping these patients. I was contributing to the problem. I always had that mindset as a nurse. How can I get these patients to look through all these meds and talk to their doctors and advocate for them to get them off of all this? I would hit a lot of roadblocks, and so I ended up going to work at a private practice where doctors were more concerned about not so much profit, but the people. I always continued along these lines. Fast forward to this year, we were essentially laid off from our jobs. In Florida, we did it right, she says. We didn't ban any of the alternative treatments. They left it up to the individual hospitals to make up their own minds, so that's why we were very successful, whereas New York was not. As an aside, people in Mississippi have approached their doctors about some alternative treatments, things like hydroxychloroquine, and have been rebuffed from that here because that has come down from the top of these medical establishments. Getting back into the story here, as COVID-19 pandemic progressed, New York, being a hotspot, was in desperate need for skilled nurses, so Olszewski ended up volunteering and went to work at Elmhurst in April 2020. Quote, it was still extremely packed in these hospitals with pretty much every single person on a ventilator, she says. Curiously, when she got there, she was told she'd have to wait days for her assignment. Normally, in times of war, you're expected to immediately get to work. This was the first red flag, suggesting all was not as it seemed. Some of the nurses had waited in hotel rooms for 18 days before they received their assignments. This is Emily's recounting of it. Erin's. Why weren't they utilizing these resources, complaining that they didn't have enough help when there were 1,000, 2,000 nurses sitting around in New York waiting for an assignment? That was very confusing to me. If indeed this was essentially a war zone, people are literally dying left and right. Why aren't they utilizing us? I finally did get an assignment, and they put me in Elmhurst Hospital. I got there and literally took me one shift, 12 hours, to realize that this is absolute chaos and not because we didn't have enough staff. We were staffed. It was because nobody cared. I literally felt like I was living in a twilight zone, and just knowing what I know about our system anyway on a good day, this was an absolute negligence. Due to COVID-19 infection concerns, family members were excluded from the process here. They simply weren't allowed in. To me, that was probably why so much of this abuse was able to occur. Olszewski says, that's exactly right. On top of that, they created a liability-free environment. So now you have a liability-free environment where everybody knows that no matter what they do, they're not going to get in trouble for it. We have no family around putting us in check. You've got doctors and nurses that at that point just didn't care because everybody was going to die anyway, so what's the point? And then you have everybody on a ventilator, so these patients can't even speak for themselves. They're at the hands of whoever is taking care of them. How do you sit by and allow this to happen? I don't know how so many people knowingly knew this was going on and just chose to remain silent. It's really quite sad. This is from the story. This isn't directly from Olszewski's testimony, but she says, by the time Olszewski started work in Elmhurst in April, doctors around the world, including the U.S., had already started raising questions about the routine use of mechanical ventilation for COVID-19 patients. Within weeks, many started arguing that it appeared to be doing more harm than good. That certainly proved accurate at Elmhurst. In a four-week period, Olszewski only witnessed one patient put on a mechanical ventilation who survived, and that's because the sedation didn't quite take, and he ended up extubating himself. The sad tragedy is that he didn't have any medical indications warranting him being placed on a ventilator to begin with. Eventually, being put on a vent is the kiss of death, and according to Olszewski, the staff at Elmhurst were aware of that. So within her first week, Olszewski spoke to an attorney and began secretly videotaping her findings and interactions with the staff at Elmhurst. This was necessary so that the public would believe her story, and this is how she explains it. And again, I'm going to say as an aside myself here, we have to always remember that these hospitals were paid, another one of these great ideas, hospitals were paid $13,000 for anybody who was diagnosed as a COVID patient and $39,000 if they put them on a ventilator. You think these hospitals, you think these medical groups are not in this for the money? You dangle $39,000 in front of them, all you have to do is put a patient on a ventilator for a period of time. You don't think that's an incentive to use ventilators more than necessary? This is back to Olszewski. She said, like I said, it didn't take me more than a shift to realize what was going on. I got back to my hotel room and broke down in tears. I couldn't even believe it. I have a lot of nurse friends, and I asked them to hop on a Zoom call with me, and I just let it all out. One of them is a nurse practitioner, and she ended up kind of being my proxy. She did a live video, and it went pretty viral. She got gaslighted by everybody. She had death threats. Everybody said she was making it up. So I contacted an attorney after a few days of seeing what was going on with her, just trying to get my message out. And I'm like, listen, no one here is going to believe what's going on because they don't believe her. The only way public is ever going to be able to take this seriously and believe what I'm saying is with an actual video. Again, I'm recounting Olszewski's narration of this. I'd already tried to go up the chain of command, and everybody would just tell you, just be quiet or you're gone. You were considered a troublemaker if you tried to advocate for your patients, and you were pretty much shunned. There were nurses sent home prior to me getting there for doing the same things. Ethics essentially just went out the window. My attorney actually ended up getting me a pair of spy glasses in order to videotape, and they fit with the rest of the PPE, so I was never really questioned. It was pretty terrifying, but at the same time, I'm going in there looking at my patients like, you know what? You guys deserve justice. This should have never happened, and I hope history never repeats itself again. That was the mission. People need to know the truth, and those that thought this was okay need to be held accountable for these actions. In our profession, we're supposed to be there for our patients. We're supposed to act with integrity and compassion, and none of that was happening. To the narration on this, it says, nurses who are in the trenches day in and day out typically know what works and what doesn't. I can remember many times during my own medical residency where nurses would correct decisions that, if implemented, could have harmed the patient. So skilled nursing staff are really crucial components that help keep patients safe. Unfortunately, in this case, nurses were routinely overruled and ignored. According to Olszewski, she had many conversations with her coworkers, all of whom said the same thing. They couldn't believe what was happening. Quote, I actually recorded a lot of those conversations, too, just because I didn't want people to think it was just me, she says. Really, everybody thought this is not okay, but everybody was afraid to say something. There are a lot of upset people, and they try to hurt you and silence you in any way they can. I mean, if you just stop and think about this for a second. This is treatment for people who came down with COVID. In a medical establishment, a certified hospital, all the doctors licensed, all on the up and up. I mean, you know, this is part of what we call the greatest medical system in the world. I got to tell you, I do not see it that way. Let me get back to the story here. Olszewski was ultimately fired from Elmhurst for speaking out about the conditions there. There are also petitions to remove her nursing license. That, it seems, is a commonly used way to silence the opposition these days. Olszewski vows to fight and keep her license. Perhaps most egregious, COVID-negative patients were listed and treated as confirmed positive, and some were even placed on mechanical ventilation. One of them was a male patient admitted for high blood glucose, which is easily remedied and under no circumstances would require ventilation. Olszewski tells the story. Quote, They ended up giving him a lot of different psych drugs, which ultimately just kept that blood sugar going up and up. And instead of treating that, they ventilated him. They put him on our COVID ICU floor, which is unheard of. And he's anxious, so they have him tied to the bed in restraints, which makes anybody even more anxious. You can't have any family in there. There's a bunch of nurses telling you to be quiet. Anyone's going to fight in that type of situation, you're terrified to be there in the first place. This is Olszewski. She said, quote, "I was in there just trying to hold his hand, talk to him, calm him down. And one of the residents comes in saying, quote, 'If you don't calm down, we're going to have to put a tube down you to help you breathe.' I was just like, 'What are you doing? He doesn't need that.' Within 5 minutes of my leaving for the end of my shift, he was on a ventilator. That right there, that's just negligence." And this story goes on to complete. It says, while Olszewski has been largely ostracized by her nursing colleagues, most of whom likely fear losing their jobs if they openly side with her, the death rate at Elmhurst plummeted after Olszewski's undercover videos started making the rounds on social media. Her hour-long interview in the Perspectives on the Pandemic series, which has 1.4 million views, was released to the public June 9th, 2020. Daily death rates in New York City hospitals dropped dramatically after that. Now, I will say there's a possibility that they had already had kind of the easy deaths in this. You look at just about any chart, and it looks like there were people who were susceptible to this that succumbed to it first, and the rest of what we've done after that has been absolutely insane. But this shows you. There are such good-hearted people, good, motivated people, people who want to help people in this medical system. The system will not allow it to happen. It's about money. And it doesn't mean that the doctors and the nurses and these people, but the system is designed as a business. And so it benefits a lot of people. I mean, if you have a heart attack, you want to go to the hospital, you want to be treated, and they will save your life. Same thing with, you know, some cancer treatments. And it's all kinds of ways that the medical establishment can help. But you've got to know your best bet is to, number one, maintain your health. And number two, understand that they don't have this locked down. To me, one of my big problems is within the medical establishment, the arrogance that says, just trust us. Yeah, just go eat what you want, do what you want. Well, unless it comes to COVID, and then stay in your home. We know the science. Put your mask on. Go to jail if you don't wear a mask. But they don't really know. And it's not all this cut and dry science stuff that they tell you about when you're putting your own life. The third leading cause of death in this country right now before COVID was medical mistakes. Properly prescribed medications with adverse effects. I've read the statistics on this air over and over and over again. So it's something worth, I think, just to pierce this veil of invincibility of the medical system, where people just offer themselves up. You just go about your life. You think that you just can do whatever you want to, and eventually they'll give you a pill to fix it. Well, they got a therapy for it. It's a shame. And I think of the poor people who ended up getting caught up in that and what this nurse saw, a lot of people that did not need to die that have died. And, of course, those statistics go into the big numbers, and the big numbers are used to beat us over the head that we need to alter all of our way of life and close down our businesses and lock our kids in their bedrooms because medical mistakes took so many lives at the beginning of this thing. All right, when I come back, I'm going to get into this stuff with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Again, it is time to talk about vaccines. It's not after the mandate. It's before the mandate. Politicians, policymakers, and the medical mafia, people like Anthony Fauci, need to understand, you're not going to start mandating these things for us on a vaccine that has rushed Operation Warp Speed. Because your history is not good. And RFK Jr. in this interview, he's going to give you some statistics that to a lot of people would be eye-opening. Now, some people don't want to entertain this information. I'm aware of that. You just want to blindly trust. I don't know. I've got kids. I feel it's my obligation to do homework on stuff like this. I'll be right back.
You know that friend that's eating healthy, or as they put it, eating clean? They're overly concerned with eating habits, especially yours. They cite the latest health studies, the ones that change weekly. Eggs are good? No bad. No wait, eggs are good. Instead, maybe you should listen to what your own body is saying about your health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health.
Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Now I'm calling all citizens from all over the world. This is Captain America calling. I built you up when you were down on your knees. So will you catch me now? I'm falling.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me. This is Hump Day Health, natural health news you can use. We're going to talk a little bit about vaccines today. Last night, my understanding was, I saw a teaser ad for this, but I didn't tune in time. ABC last night did one of their What Would You Do series. And if the ad was reflective of the show, I tuned into it late and they moved on to another topic, but they had a woman and her son sitting at a table. This is one of those things where they put two actors in to talk loud and get the people around them to weigh in on the issue, you know, fat shaming or, I don't know, all kinds of different things to try to show people get involved in other people's lives when they hear something objectionable. You know, I don't know. It's not my cup of tea. But this one was about a woman with her son, and the son said, "Mom, I'm really scared. I want to get the vaccine." And the mom says, "No, we are an anti-vax family." And presumably, from what the teaser ad said that I saw on Saturday, the people around them weigh in to shame the mom to get the kid vaccinated. This is pure mind control propaganda. I'm sure they made the moms appear as, you know, ignorant as possible. And the child was really the authority, and you have to, oh, that child, that poor child. Here's the thing. I think people should be shamed. And myself included, understand when I say this, my children are fully vaccinated because most of those vaccines are done before the age of six and I wasn't paying attention to anything. I took my kids into the doctor's office. I pulled up their pants leg or rolled up their sleeves and let them jam whatever they wanted to into my children. I had no earthly idea. Then I started doing my research and basically I just had a big whoosh because, you know, it doesn't affect some people and some people it does. My kids were not vaccine injured, nothing went wrong, thank goodness. So I've been where other people are, but it's fascinating to me now. I scold myself, how could you get the car seat, get the helmets, baby proof the entire house, and then just take them in and have some unknown chemical cocktail and virus and cocktail just injected into their arms, like without any knowledge? There's a vaccine insert in all these things. Did I read the inserts? No, I did not. So to me, it's kind of the person that should be shamed is the person who takes their child in for some kind of a treatment where you know nothing about it. And there's a documented history of problems with that. You know, when you buy a child seat for the car, most people look at the ratings or you look at the safety ratings or something. I mean, you do a little bit of research on the child safety seat. If you found one that said, well, you know, some kids don't do so good in this. They suffocate in it or it doesn't protect them in a crash. You might say, oh, okay, well, I'm going to keep researching until I find a way to keep my kids safe in the car. We do that for a car seat. But when it comes to medicine, we just blindly trust. And when you hear some of this stuff, this is Robert Kennedy Jr., you'll understand that the science on these things is not settled. And what Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is going to do is he's going to take you through some of the science, the actual science that the CDC and these organizations use, they just won't tell you about. To start this, he talks a little bit about how he got started studying vaccines. He used to be an environmental attorney. He was working on environmental issues, particularly the problems with mercury in food and water. And kids were having problems with this. And so he was going around doing these speeches on it. And he ran across parents, a group of women who would come to his presentations and sit in the front row and say, you need to look at the mercury in the vaccines. This was back, I believe, in 2005. And he didn't want anything to do with them. And he's going to tell you how that changed. But these women had had their children harmed, they thought, from mercury in the vaccines. He was talking about mercury. They wanted to get him to take a look at it. He wasn't interested in it. But one woman was just so persistent, she sent him down the rabbit hole.
But one of these women came to my home in the summer of 2005. She was a psychologist from Minnesota named Sarah Bridges. Her son had gotten autism from a mercury vaccine, and he had gotten recognition of that from the vaccine court. He won the judgment, and they had given him $20 million, you know, lifetime support. She wanted to make sure it didn't happen to anybody else, and she brought a huge pile of studies, about 18 inches thick, to my home in my little bungalow in Hyannis, Massachusetts. And she put it on my front porch. And she said, I'm not leaving here till you read these. And I'm very comfortable reading science. You know, my whole life has been about science. All of these lawsuits that I've won, hundreds and hundreds of them, all of them involve a scientific controversy. So I'm comfortable reading science. I know how to read it critically. And I started reading these studies. I read the abstracts. And before I was 4 or 5 inches deep in that pile, I was just dumbstruck about the huge delta between what the public health agencies were telling us about vaccine safety and what the actual published peer-reviewed science was saying.
Yeah. You know,
that really was my, you know, that's how I started down this wormhole and ruined my career and my life, by the way, because it was not a good career choice for me. As you know, it's not a popular subject.
Well, my first introduction.
Let me skip ahead here. I don't have a whole lot of time. This is Ron Paul interviewing him. It's a great interview, and you can get the link. You want to email me, Mike Madison at WYAB.com. Let's let RFK Jr. finish up his points here.
Kind of stuff you've had to put up with for a long time.
Yeah, and you know, I've written a book summarizing all the science. I thought, you know, people are saying this. Of course, they, you know, the pharmaceutical cartel, which controls our public health agencies, is telling people, well, there's no proof that autism is caused by vaccines. But here's the thing: I've done a book about it, and the book, I thought this, you know, as soon as this book comes out, everybody's just going to see what the truth is, because all I did in the book was I took all this science, about 1,400 studies, many of them, about 160 of them, showing that vaccines cause autism. And I put them in one book and I summarized them with links so anybody can look them up. I got 12 reviews in the book before the book was ever circulated. So nobody read it. You know, none of the reviewers read it. Forbes and, you know, and Time Magazine and Newsweek all did reports condemning it. But here's the thing, is people should not listen to me about science. People have to do, they shouldn't, but, you know, what I say is not science. The science is what's in the published peer review. And what Tony Fauci says is not science. What CDC says is not science.
Great.
If you want the science, you got to read the peer review. And here is what the Institute of Medicine said. The Institute of Medicine is now called the National Academy of Medicine. It's a, you know, federal panel that is the ultimate arbiter of medical science. Congress and HHS appointed it and said, we want you to backstop CDC and make sure they're not cheating. So the Institute of Medicine periodically goes in and looks at every couple of years at CDC science on vaccine safety. And they've specifically looked at the issue of autism. And they have a report in 1994 in 2011, in 2013, in 2017. And all of those reports, they say to CDC, you have never studied the link between autism and vaccines. And in fact, they said in their last report, they said, when it comes, they said there's 178 conditions that we believe are being caused by this, by vaccines. Chronic diseases like diabetes, arthritis, food allergies, asthma, all of these things that have exploded since 1989. But, you know, the vaccine generation is the generation born after 89. The sickest generation in history. Autism went from my generation, from 1 in 10,000, my kids' generation, 1 in every 34 kids. And so, so the Institute of Medicine looked at 178 chronic diseases that are now afflicting this generation. 54% of the kids have chronic diseases. In my generation, 12%. No, my generation, 6%. In the generation that was in 1986, it was 12%. These kids at 54%, and they've lost 7 IQ points.
Right. You know,
let me just finish this. The Institute of Medicine said to them, you have done no science on this. And they went through each of those conditions in each vaccine. And when they came to, and this is on page 554 of that report, they came to autism and they said, there is only one study that's ever been done about the six vaccines that are given. 26 shots of six vaccines given the first 6 months of life. Okay. That study says that the vaccines cause autism. We're not going to use that study because it was based upon CDC's system, which, you know, a data gathering system, which we think is lousy. But they said, other than that study, there's not a single study on any of those vaccines that shows that they don't cause autism. So the agencies have deliberately not done those studies. And it's not me saying it. It's not Robert Kennedy, the lawyer. It's the National Academy of Medicine that has said that.
All right.
And what do we hear constantly? The science is settled. No connection. That's what they say constantly. I got more from Robert F. Kennedy Jr. when we come back. Stay with me. Mike Madison here. Have you heard about Lee Garland's latest offer? You know, he's the real estate agent with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance who will guarantee the sale of your home. Well, he's up the ante once again, and not only will he guarantee the sale, but he wants the opportunity to offer you cash before you ever even place it on the market. That's right. Lee Garland with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance is and represents cash buyers who are willing to buy your home as is today. Can you imagine not having to jump through a bunch of hoops, not having to scramble around to meet the buyer's needs, and not having to do repairs for some crazy home inspection? If so, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424 for more details on his cash offer and or guaranteed sale. Again, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130, 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424. Final segment for today here on the Mike Madison Show, Hump Day Health, Natural Health News you can use. If you missed the show, you want to catch up on it. I've done a lot on this show over the weeks about your immune system, how important it is. And for some reason, our health authorities will not talk about how you can manipulate and improve your own immune system to fight off not only COVID, but everything from cancer to colds. You can go find the podcast. You can go to WYAB.com, scroll down. You can see my show page. Or you can go to themikemadisonshow.podbean.com. You can also subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Just do a search for The Mike Madison Show. I know it's on the TuneIn app. And if you find it anywhere else, let me know. I didn't even know it was on TuneIn. Or you can email me, mikemadison@wyeb.com, and I'll send you any links. I'll just send you my show notes, which has got everything that I cover and sometimes even more than I get to. I actually misjudged my clips. That was all I had from Robert F. Kennedy Jr. But he's got an interview, not an interview. He did a debate with Alan Dershowitz. Alan Dershowitz is the guy who came out and said, we know who Dershowitz is, right? Dershowitz was Jeffrey Epstein's defense attorney. Anyway, he made a statement one day where he basically said that in the case of something like this pandemic, that the authorities are certainly well within their rights to come to your home, pull you out of your home, take you somewhere and roll up your sleeve and force you to take a vaccination. He's a constitutional lawyer. And he says that is the real deal, that we can do that. So anyway, Robert Kennedy had a debate with him on vaccines. I would go look for that if I were you. I mean, if you want to hear some fascinating – if you want to learn more about vaccines, I'm thinking about taking the interview. It's like an hour and almost an hour and a half debate. I keep calling it an interview. It was a debate. But I may put it into a show that if I have to miss a Wednesday sometime, I may just plug in that debate for this show. Absolutely eye-opening stuff. If you're interested in the safety and efficacy of vaccines, if you want to blindly trust, look, I'll be honest with you. As a selfish person, I hope they come out with a vaccine and a bunch of people take it so that we can go on with our lives. I'm not taking it because I don't need to. See, I assess risk versus reward, and I do what I can to keep my immune system up, and if I get it, I think I can fight it off. And you know what? I might die, but the chances are so remote that it doesn't play into my calculation that I'm going to inject something into my system that's been rushed through some quasi-approval process because I'm not scared of the disease. But selfishly, I think, well, just roll this thing out. A bunch of people who don't care and won't do their research and think that the medical gods will fix us all. Let them take it, and then everybody will have this false sense of security, and we can go about our business. Now, I don't want to see a bunch of people hurt by the vaccine, or maybe it'll be great. I don't know. But selfishly, I don't want to tell people not to take it because it may get us back to life faster. It's just I think being informed is a good thing. It's kind of rare in this world, I think, to really want to understand the details surrounding something. It's easier just to trust and have faith in somebody, a politician or a doctor. But I think informed consent is more important than just consent. Anyway, it's Robert F. Kennedy Jr., Alan Dershowitz debate. You can probably find it on YouTube if they've allowed it to stay up. I did want to mention this real quick before I run out of time here. For my kids, you know, they've just gone back up to school, so they're in the Petri dish. And as I said the other day, when I left my son's apartment, there were 12 to 15 kids in there already, and it's not a big apartment. So what I've told my kids is they need to make sure they've got vitamin D, they've got vitamin C, they take probiotics, but also zinc and quercetin. Quercetin is being pointed to, and I'm not prescribing any. I'm not telling you what to take. These are the things I'm telling my kids because it looks like there's good evidence that quercetin acts kind of like hydroxychloroquine does. They've done studies with quercetin for delivering zinc into cells to fight this virus, and quercetin does not have the side effects, or it's not a pharmaceutical like hydroxychloroquine is, so it seems like a good natural approach to it. Anyway, so there's things that you can do if you've got to send your kids back to school. The vitamin D levels, I've done a ton of science on here about proper vitamin D levels for all kinds of diseases. Do your research on vitamin D. Again, I'm not telling anybody here what to do. I'm telling you what I did in that case. But do your own research and just understand if you're really worried about your kids, if you're worried about yourself, there are things that you can do naturally to bolster your immune system. And if you get something, to make it shorter in duration. The vaccine issue is a big one to me. This one feels like this is going to be a real test for the American people to see what we put up with on this. This is going to be a full court press on us to do a vaccine. It seems to me we should be as informed as possible before that happens. That's all the time I got. I'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.